Shoot the defense, the best podcast in the world. We're out here.
I keep saying Henry's a forward.
Richie, who's the best striker you played against?
Henry.
And the fact that we are now taking our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable.
If you're going to take the time to go and get a pig head and break my locker open and wrap my clothes in it, I send in a different message to me.
I've had to protect my family from going out into the street because you'll have random people that just coming up and abusing them racially. Even some old school managers who are British, they still have the same racial undertones like the man in the street who they're trying to condemn.
Hello, welcome to a very, very special edition of Shoot the Defence. It is my top five matches. We haven't done one of these in a few days. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. I'm your host, Del, and I'm joined once again by Mr. Michael Pieri. How is one sir, Mr. Economics Teacher?
I'm all right still. I'm okay. You?
Yeah, all good. I tried to throw in like a counting my pennies kind of thing because, you know, we've got to save our money these days. Do you know what I mean? It's lockdown is almost over and the retail stores are opening soon.
Oh my God, hide those credit cards from the missus.
No, I mean, she's the one that's got a discount, mate. Oh, brilliant. Well, Mr. Pieri has arranged one of his former students to join us on the show, and people are going to be like, huh? What are you lot talking about? Well, this gentleman has played for Tottenham Hotspur. He's a World Cup winner, and he plays for Fulham. It's Josh Onoma. Josh, welcome to the show, mate. How you doing?
Nice to meet you, yes. Yeah, I'm all good. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Thanks for joining us, mate. And I really hope you guys have been coping well with this whole COVID issue. I know it must be very difficult for you guys, especially with the lack of training and whatnot.
Yeah, it's been all right. We've just recently just got in back to training, trying to get our fitness back. So we originally went back like 2 weeks ago, but individually. So our sports scientist sent us out a program just to cover and keep fit. And then this last week, we've been integrated into like small groups of like 4 or 5 and just been doing like passing drills, non-contact stuff. And yeah, this week, hopefully by Wednesday, we'll be all training in one big group in that slow, steady process.
Can I just ask, Josh, how frustrating is it? Because football's a contact sport. How frustrating is it to do non-contact and from a distance and in groups? How frustrating is it for you and your teammates?
Yeah, it is quite frustrating, like, just not training normally, like, with the balls and that. Especially like in the earlier weeks where we're just like no balls at all, we're just running.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, these things happen and we've just got to deal with it. And you know, we've got to make sure like all the procedures are in place because ultimately health comes first, and we wouldn't want like the spread of this virus getting out. So we've just got to put that first, and then if football's safe to do so, we're happy to do it. So we ain't really worried in that sense. We just got to make sure everything's done properly.
Okay, thanks.
Great stuff. Well, Josh, we're going to talk about your top five memorable matches. We're going to go chronologically with this one, and we'll talk about the under-17s win with England, the European Championships in Malta. 4-1 penalty shootout against the Dutch. You guys had the likes of Jonjo Kenny, Freddie Woodman was in goal for that one, Taylor Moore. Yeah. So talk to us about this game, mate. Why was this one of your top five matches?
It weren't just the game. It was like the whole tournament, the whole like experience, the whole... Yeah, like, it was my first ever like proper international tournament. The group of boys we were with, like you named Jonjo Kenny, Dom Solanke, Freddie Woodman. We had a great team, and like the team morale was all good. So we were away in Malta for like 2 weeks or so, and like we were like very confident. Borderline, not arrogant, but like we knew we were all like good footballers, and like we were just confident we could win it. And funny enough, like we had Holland in the final, and we had them in our group, and they like smashed us in our group, like outplayed us. and beat us. And then when it come to the final, like, before the game, like, all of us knew, like, yeah, we were going to win this no matter what. Like, we were confident in all our abilities. And, yeah, we were looking forward to it. And, yeah, we got the early goal in that game, I think, and we were just holding on. And I think they got a late goal. And, like, I remember, like, all our heads were just gone. I was like, nah, like, we have to win this. And then, yeah, we won on penalties. And, yeah, that was my first, like, real taste of, like, winning a important tournament, first on the international stage. And, yeah, I'll always remember that moment.
Mm, brilliant. Well, I believe the head coach for England at the time was John Peacock, a very experienced gentleman. I think he spent a good few years at Derby County. Now he works for FIFA and UEFA. Now, he must have given you guys a whole heap of confidence going into that final, given, you know, your route to the final and his experience. What was he like working on there, especially during this tournament?
Yeah, like I said, like, we were confident boys, and he, as our manager at the time, like, he knew how good we were, and, like, he used to fuel us with, like, encouraging words, like, you lot, like, you're the best, like, group of players that he's managed at this level. And, like, when someone of his experience says that to you, it gives you great confidence as well. So he's someone that believed in us all the way from the very start. And, yeah, like, he managed all of us, all of us at a young age. And I think that helped us, give us the confidence to go on and win that tournament.
Brilliant. Mike?
Just want to say, I mean, Josh, I mean, I've seen you play for the under-15s, under-16s for England, and... I mean, a lot of you came up together. Did you know from a much younger age that there was a core of you at that age group for England that were gonna do good things?
Yeah, so, like, the first time we ever got called up was at 15, 16. I think I was, like, in year 10 at the time. And, yeah, like, obviously, we've all played against each other at club level, and, like, we all kind of knew, like, we were, like, the good players in our club teams, so I think that's what brought us together. And yeah, going into tournaments like that, that just helped us win. And, like, we always believed in our abilities, and that, like, was good competition. Like, in training, like, all of us will get the best out of each other, and that's what drove us, really.
Good stuff.
Josh, in this tournament, especially the final, you faced Donny van der Beek, who's at Ajax, and Steven Bergwijn, who is now playing his trade at Spurs. When you think about all the opponents you faced in that competition, who would you say was the toughest, especially in your position?
Yeah, there was a few standout performances in that tournament. There was a midfielder for Portugal, Renato Sanches.
Okay.
The
guy's at Bayern Munich, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a baller at that age. Mm. I remember playing against him, and we had Portugal in the semi-finals, and yeah, I remember him just bossing the game and him being that strong, but we beat them, so it was alright. but he definitely is someone that I remember from that tournament.
Yeah, he's been very unlucky. I know he had a fantastic debut season at Benfica, then he went to Bayern for a couple seasons, ended up at Swansea on loan, and now he's at Lille. I just wonder how much injuries have taken its toll on his career. He's relatively young as well, just like yourself.
Yeah, like, he definitely has the ability. And I believe, yeah, he's come to some setbacks, and, like, I wish him all the best, and I hope, like, he gets back to where he deserves to be, because, yeah, he's definitely a baller.
Mm, great stuff. Brilliant. Okay, next game, your debut for Tottenham Hotspur. It was against Burnley in the FA Cup. I believe you guys were two goals down in the first 7 minutes, but then Paulinho pulled one back, Etienne Capoue equalised second half, and then Vlad Kirikes and Danny Rose got the two for Spurs. So, obviously, this is your debut. It's one to remember. But was it extra special because it was a comeback victory?
Yeah, that played a part. And also because growing up, like, my whole life, my whole childhood, like, playing for Tottenham has been my dream. And that day I done it. And yeah, I just remember going to my first ever live football stadium with my dad at White Hart Lane and just watching Tottenham, and always thinking to myself, oh, can't wait to play here in front of all these fans and make my debut. And yeah, that day, that's when I done it. So that's something that will always be with me, always be remembered in my life forever. So yeah, that's why it's a special moment for me.
When did you find out you were going to be given your chance to play?
The week leading up to that game, my manager at the time, Pochettino, came up to me, and I think Harry Winks, I think he made his debut like a week before,
right,
2 weeks before, whatever, and he came up to me in training and was like, you see your friend Harry Winks, I believe you're next to make your debut, and like, you know, when your manager says that to you, it just gives you great confidence and belief in yourself. And I remember just throughout that week, like, I was training every day, like it was going to be my last ever. And then he didn't say anything else to me after that. So game day, he says I'm in a squad. And I think, like, because that was the replay, I think in the first time we played Burnley, like, I was on the bench, but I didn't come on. So, yeah, it was the same again this time round. So, I didn't think nothing of it. And then I was warming up, and, like, he literally shouted my name. And then, like, I got that sort of goosebumps, but I was excited at the same time. And then he was just like, yeah, Joshua, this is your time. I believe in you. I know you're a great player. Just go out there and enjoy yourself. And yeah, I just remember him saying them words to me. And then, yeah, that moment will always be a memorable moment for me.
Great stuff. Sorry, Mike.
That's okay. Josh, so you came on the 76th minute. You got the goosebumps. You come on. You finish the game. How did the other players react to you? Was anything said in the changing rooms? Obviously, it's your debut. What happened afterwards? How did you feel afterwards? What was everyone else around you in the changing rooms?
How I felt, like, I was gutted to hear the final whistle, because I just felt like I was a kid playing at a park and I was just living my dream. And then, yeah, it was amazing. Proud moment. Because I knew my family were there at the time, and I knew that made them proud as well. And I was in the change room, and all the lads were buzzing for me, happy for me, because they knew that, like, they were like, oh, how I deserved it, and I just got to keep working hard. So, yeah, the lads were buzzing for me as well.
And how was training the week after, or the next few days after? Were you, like, on cloud nine? Was that just adrenaline still going, or was it just back to work focus?
Yeah, I think that adrenaline was going on for about a week. Like, I felt like in training I had an extra spring in my step, and I was training well. I felt good, and yeah, that was definitely a happy in my life.
Excellent.
Josh, tell me something quickly. Moussa Dembélé, what was he like? Because I think he's one of the most underrated central midfielders in Premier League history. He was very, very confident on the ball, very creative.
Definitely, like, the strongest ever player I played against, and yeah, definitely underrated. Like, in training, like, the stuff I've seen him do, like, outrageous. And yeah, he's definitely an unsung hero. And like, growing up, like, coming through the academy, he's someone that I aspire to be, like just the way he plays, confident on the ball, good dribbler, wasn't afraid to take risks. And like, when I was coming through training with the first team, like, he was there for me. Like, he gave me advice, and like, he was just like a huge role model for me coming up through the academy. Yeah. And he's someone that I will always respect, and someone that I'll always be thankful for coming through the academy. He's a huge role model for me.
Yeah.
Josh, is it true that everyone at the club at that time, I heard this from someone else, I don't know if it's true or not, wanted Dembélé to be in their five-a-side team?
Oh, yeah. The best five-a-side player ever. Like, if you were on his team, he was not losing 100%. Nah, seriously, like, he's that good.
Excellent.
That good.
Yeah.
Scary.
Wasted in China, as far as I'm concerned. But hey,
you know. 100%. Yeah.
Hey, listen, money talks at the end of the day. I don't blame him. Right, next game. Tottenham 5, Gillingham 0. You scored your very first goal for the club. Eriksen had scored twice. Janssen actually got on the score sheet as well, but then you made it 4. So come on, talk to us about this one.
Oh, yeah, I remember that game. The reason why it was so special to me was obviously I scored my first ever goal for Tottenham, and then when I celebrated, like, there's like a little picture where one of the photographers took from that game, and it's like all like the academy players that were in the squad that came over to support me when I celebrated. So Harry Winks, Cameron, Carter Vickers, Marcus Edwards, Anton Walks, and it all just ran, like, even Cameron, who was playing centre back at the time, ran from his half, and like, he was one of the first few people to come and celebrate. So that was very magical for me. And also, my under 23s coach, who was in the crowd at the time, God rest his soul, Ugo. He said to me, like, earlier that week before the game, it was like, "Oh, Josh, any chance in you getting a goal for Tottenham, or are you just gonna be one of them players that just put on a shirt and not contribute to a game?" But yeah, he always used to wind me up and saying that I just need to get on a goal scoring sheet. And he's someone that's worked with me through the academy and always wanted me to score goals and matches. So when I scored and saw him in the crowd, that's something that I'll always remember and take with me through my career.
Yeah. And the thing is, the people that I've spoken to about Ugo Hulk is that they would say that not only was he a great man manager, he was very meticulous in his approach to things as well, very tactically aware.
Yeah, like, a great coach, and like, he weren't just a coach, like you said, he was a man's manager. Like, he's someone that you could talk to on the pitch, off the pitch. If he was busy, he always made time for you. And he's someone that I respect, and he was a huge role model for me coming through the academy. And yeah, I'll never forget him.
Josh, obviously I've known you for years, and I know that the standards that your family around you, you've got really good family, but I know that your dad always kept pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. What was the first thing your dad said after you scored?
he was just like, you know how my dad is. Yeah. He was just like, "Yes, son, like, I know you can do it. I'm proud of you, but it doesn't stop here. Just keep pushing and just make sure you enjoy yourself through all this. And I know you can play at the highest level, so just keep working hard and you'll get there."
In that game, Josh, if I remember rightly, didn't you play like in a just off the striker, off Janssen? Is that correct? In that game, was it just off the right?
So back then when I was playing for Tottenham, like, we played a formation 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
And like, the three would basically just like all rotate, and it'll be like all fluid and just freestyled, really. So I could end up on a wide behind a striker or on the other side. So it's all just fluent.
What is your favourite position? Where do you see yourself?
I would say a box-to-box midfielder, more like an 8.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the position I enjoy most, to be honest.
Wonderful. Okay, next game. Haha, here we go. You've won more World Cups than most England players ever have done. There you go. England under 20 World Cup final. England beat Venezuela 1-0 in the final. Oh, where do we begin with this one, mate? Where do we begin with this one? What about the route to the final? You battered Argentina. You got a respectable draw against Guinea and then beat South Korea to win the group. And then came Costa Rica, Mexico, Italy, and then Venezuela in the final. So, yeah, talk to us, mate.
Yeah. Cardiff, then done a 20 World Cup. I think we're away for like 5 weeks. So the longest I've been away from like my family, my home, as well, for football as well. What was it? We had Argentina first, and yeah, we thought, it's going to be a hard game because of their like reputation or whatever. But yeah, like I said, like, from the under 17 group, like, we believed in ourselves, and that like, we had like a certain arrogance about us, and like, we just thought we were like the best team. So we beat them, and then I think we're top of our group. I'm not sure.
We're
top of our group. And then who do we have in the last 16? Costa Rica?
Yeah, Costa Rica, yeah, that's right, yep.
Yeah, we beat them. No, South Korea. We beat South Korea, then Costa Rica. I remember we had, who was it? Mexico.
Mexico, yeah.
And that's the game that I got a red card in. And
that was a ridiculous red card.
Do you remember it, sir?
I remember.
I texted you,
and I said to you, how can you get a red card for dribbling?
Oh, yeah, I remember that actually. But yeah, when it happened, I just remember being gutted. Like, I thought, oh my gosh, like my tournament's over. And I remember they put me in some room and I was watching the rest of the game. And I was thinking to myself, I pray we win this. And thankfully, we did win this. And then after the game at the hotel, I got told that I can't play in the semi-final. And then my manager at the time, Paul Simpson, he come up to me. He was like, because he could see that I was frustrated, but obviously happy for the lads at the time. And he come up to me and he was like, oh, don't worry about it. If we beat Italy in the semi-finals, I promise you that you will start the final. But yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? But yeah, I didn't think he will keep to his word or whatever. So watching the game against Italy, and we absolutely battered them. I think the score was 3-1.
3-1, yeah.
3-1. Yeah, 3-1. So I remember thinking to myself, there's no way you can change this team. They've just beat Italy 3-1. A team that knocked us out in the Euros last year, and we just beat them 3-1. There's no way he's going to pick me. But yeah, thankfully he stuck to his words, and we had Venezuela in the final. And I remember before the game, all of us were confident, but we're also very vigilant, because we had no experience of Venezuela. We've never played them before. And they've basically smacked every team and got to the final. I remember that game as well. I think we won the walk. And in the second half, I took a shot from 35 yards and it hit the crossbar and it bounced. And I thought it went in, but it didn't. I just remember hearing the final whistle and... Yeah, I remember just thinking, oh my gosh, we've just won the World Cup. definitely a moment that I'll never forget.
Well, see, this is it, because I remember when you guys won it, and a lot of people out here were like, oh, I didn't even realise that there was an under-20 World Cup going on. But you could tell it kind of gripped the nation once it was announced that you guys had won it, because obviously England haven't won anything since 66. Mike, you weren't even... born then, were you?
No.
Yeah, I remember for the game, we got messages from Prince William, the England captain at the time, all these famous people, and they were just urging us, saying that the whole nation's behind you and all these things, and saying that England hasn't won a World Cup since 1966, and that, when you're hearing all of that before a game, it just motivates you and fools you, and you just get some fire in your belly that you just want to, you know, be remembered in history. So, yeah, I think all their messages helped us as well.
In the final, Josh, in Venezuela, that a really short player, Soteldo.
Oh, what a
player.
Oh,
am I right?
Yeah.
Did you not feel that? He was such a good player.
Yeah, yeah. So he didn't even start. So basically, first half was like, we went 1-0 up and we were reasonably comfortable in the game. And then they brought this like little guy like in the middle of the second half.
Number 10.
And, like, number 10. And we were tired like already. Like, and then this guy was just picking up the ball, dribbling past everyone. And like, his low center of gravity was crazy. Like, he would change direction so quickly. And like, we were struggling to like handle him, and he was causing problems. And like, I'm not going to lie, like, I was scared at that moment. I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to lose this game. But thankfully, we held on. Yeah.
He's been linked to Everton in the last couple of weeks. He's currently at
Yeah,
he's been linked to Everton. That's why the name and I couldn't picture him. And then when I did a little bit of research for this evening, I thought, there we go, there's the link. And he was a good player.
Nah, he was a baller. Yeah. Where is he playing at now?
Santos in Brazil.
Okay, Yeah, he's doing very well.
And he said he wants to come over to Europe.
Who
got player of the tournament? Was it Solanke who got it?
Oh yeah, Dom Solanke, yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I'll be honest, not because I know you, but if you didn't get the red card, I reckon you would have got it. I thought you had an outstanding tournament.
Yeah.
Did you feel that you had a good tournament?
No, definitely, yeah. And like, my dad, like, he comes to me everywhere since I was young, and he was there in the crowd. And you know what my dad's like, he was just like, show how great you are. And that's what like drove me throughout the whole tournament, him travelling however so miles to come see me play. That's what like drove me, really.
Excellent. Final whistle, you're all getting ready to get the trophy. You get the trophy, you know, not many players, lots of players play professional football and play hundreds of games and never ever get to lift a trophy, let alone with their national team. How did that moment feel?
No, like, speechless. Like, even now, I just remember it feeling like, just me thinking to myself, this ain't real. Like, but yeah, no, it was crazy. Like, proudest moment ever. Like, great, great, great experience. Like, yeah. Yeah, lost for words with this one.
You were your mates as well, weren't you? You were all good friends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, from under-16s, like, we've all just been like a great team and like good friends off the pitch as well. So that's very rare, like, for a team that plays for their country. Like, usually it's just strictly football and that's it. But like, we've got on well on and off the pitch. So yeah, that was definitely the key.
The thing is, mate, you see Calvert-Lewin, he's done remarkably well at Everton. Kind of like playing as a lone striker, because let's be real, ever since they sold Lukaku, they haven't had that number nine to come in and score on goals. And the thing is, when you look at how he played in that competition, did you envisage him being one of those top, top strikers like he is now?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've trained with him millions of times. You can see in training that he definitely got something there, and not just that, like, his mentality, like, after training, like, he's always the one to carry on shooting, practicing his shots, he's hold up play, he's heading, and yeah, he's been rewarded with that, and that I always knew that he's definitely someone that will show how good he is, and he's doing that, and yeah, I'm happy for what he's doing.
Brilliant. Just one more thing based on this tournament, mate. I know it was in South Korea. Did you guys celebrate the way that you'd have wanted to? Do you think if it was in Europe, you'd have celebrated a bit harder?
Yeah, I think after the final, I think we're flying out a day later or
right.
So we literally, the manager just gave us free time to just wander the streets of South Korea, and year. It was all good fun and definitely deserved. So, it was all good.
I'm not going to ask who slept with the trophy that night. It's not my business. Brilliant. And the final game, mate, your first goal for Fulham. It was in the 2-1 victory over Leeds United, the team that was flying high at the time. I think Leeds were on like an 11-game unbeaten run at the time. Talk to us about this one.
So I got to Fulham at the start of the season, but then like, I had to train extra because I wasn't fit because I missed 3 seasons. So
right.
I missed the start of the season. And then, because my team was doing so well, I had to wait a month or so to get in the squad. And then when I got into the squad, the manager, my gaffer, and all the coach and stuff, they had faith in me because they used to be at Tottenham as well. So they knew what I could do, but it was just about proving it, really. So, the first few running of games, I didn't play that well. The fans were on me. That's football. And then leading up to that game, I think we lost 3 on the bounce, and we were low morale, there weren't much confidence there, and Leeds were flying, they were top of the table, whatever, and they had a crazy unbeaten record they were going through. And then going into that game, I just thought, this is a big game, and I've just got to just prove why I'm here, and try and make my mark, really. So we went up nil earlier on, and Leeds, fantastic team, they were just battering us all game, outrunning us, whatever. And then they finally scored in the second half, I think. Second half, yeah. So it was 1-1 at the time. I remember thinking, oh, we can't lose this game. We can't be 4 losses on the bounce. We can't do this. And then I was just I put into my mind, I need to make something happen. And thankfully, I scored first goal for Fulham. And yeah, I remember that after the game, all the fans that were getting onto me, they were just thanking me, blah blah blah. And that's why that game's in my top 5.
Yeah, because I read somewhere that they gave you a lot of stick an EFL Cup game, and you know what social media is like, mate. You got a lot of trolls out there and people that have got their opinions without any... Well, they're just baseless opinions, really. So it must have affected you. But when you've gone on that pitch and you put the ball in the back of the net, obviously you're not thinking about, sticking your middle finger up at these fans, because, it's not the right thing to do. But you must have felt vindicated.
That are positive to me, so they help me out and they're good to me, and it wasn't how can I say this? I just felt I've not finally proved myself, but just showed what I can be about. So that's how I felt, really.
Yeah, so you're basically showing people what you're capable of doing, the naysayers.
There you go.
In terms of, your current career, you're 22 years old, still relatively young.
23.
I just wanted to make you feel a bit younger, But, you're relatively young in this game, and obviously, as I mentioned before, social media can be very, very unforgiving. There are a lot of trolls out there. You've moved a few clubs. You had a spell at Villa, a spell at Sheffield Wednesday. How do you deal with the influx of these people just messaging you time and time again? Because the one thing I've learned about social media is that it's almost as if it's an actual text because you're getting the alert on your phone anyway. So how do you cope with these people messaging you abuse or even just like good things? How do you deal with it?
I'm not really someone that gets affected by all that. I would say that I'm quite a strong-minded person and like, I believe in myself a lot. And like I said before, like I've like my family and my friends that always supported me as well. So they help remind me like of my beliefs and my dreams, and like they keep that fire hot really. So I don't really take to like what the obviously you see what they say, but it doesn't really affect me like that.
Fantastic, brilliant. Good to hear, mate. Good to hear.
Josh, like when that moment when the ball came back to you and you're in front of goal, I know other players in the past, is that time went a bit slow and I just knew it was going to hit the back of the net, but it was such a sweet strike, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And then you ran right into the corner. Felt good, yeah?
So it was a corner and then I think it came with like Mitrovic or something.
Yeah.
I just saw the ball. And yeah, like you said, you just know like it's gonna hit the back of the net like before you hit it. And yeah, it felt to me sweet and I just hit it nice. And then when I saw the ball hit the back of the net, like I didn't know what to do. I was just ran to the corner, slid, whatever. And yeah, it's a great moment for me. Happy days.
Josh, you mentioned at the top of the show, you said that, you know, hopefully football comes back. And we'll hope that does happen. Now, after 37 games, Fulham are 6 points behind second place West Brom. Nine games to go. How does the team and the squad and your coaches and your managers, how do you feel? Can you catch them?
Yeah, no, we believe in that. We're raring to go. Like, we've been working so hard over these last few weeks and that's all we've been thinking about, just the score. We've got 9 games left. We're seeing it as like 9 finals, and yeah, like we're ready to go.
Good stuff.
Josh, in terms of Craven Cottage and the atmosphere, mate, I can never describe it as a hostile atmosphere. The times I've been in the past, it's a very fan-friendly, family-friendly stadium. You got the I don't know if the neutral end still exists. I don't know, to be fair, but going to watch United in the past, it can be a bit rowdy. What's it like playing at that stadium compared to other grounds? Because you play the White Hart Lane, which again is a fantastic stadium, Stephen, in history.
Well, like you said, like it's like a family like stadium. Like the stands are quite close, so like you can really feel the atmosphere. And yeah, it's a great atmosphere. Like, wonderful stadium to play in. Bit different to White Hart Lane, obviously, because White Hart Lane is bigger. But like when you're playing at Craven Cottage, you just get that feeling that they're all right next to you, and yeah, that's great.
Mm.
Josh, apart from the clubs you've played for, which is your favourite stadium that you played at?
Probably Anfield, you know. Like, I couldn't. Like, when I played there for Tottenham, like, I couldn't believe the atmosphere in there. Like, it was crazy. Like, yeah, probably Anfield.
Mike doesn't like the answer. I know your brother's going to be loving it, Mike. I know Rick's going
to
love it.
Because you did go up to Old Trafford, but you didn't come off the bench, so.
Brilliant. Well, Josh, look, thank you ever so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. I know it's late on a Sunday evening and you probably need to get some shut-eye and whatnot, but thanks for joining us. And yeah, do you know what? It's incredible how, you know, you remain grounded. You're an Enfield boy, you know, professional footballer, played at the highest level, won World Cups, won European trophies, is immense, and you're still a level-headed lad, as I said, grounded, and you still call Mike Sir, which is surreal for someone who's been friends with Mike for years.
Yeah, that's all offense to Sir, like, he's...
Oh, come on.
No, 100%. Yeah, he was my head of year for, what, 5, 6 years. So, yeah, he always kept us grounded. Especially, like, when we were winning trophies left, right, and centre, school cup, so, yeah.
Oh, what's still the only team at that school to win a county cup, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, so he was a good coach at school level. Okay, 100%. There you go. Wonderful. Well, appreciate your time, Matt. Thank you very much. Mike?
All right, no worries. Thank you for that.
Cheers, Josh.
All right, see you later.
Speak to you soon.
Cheers, mate. All the best. Thank you.
Cheers.
Right, so that was Josh Onoma, ladies and gentlemen. What a lovely young lad. You could tell that Mr. Pieri taught him. But thanks for arranging that, Mike. Really appreciate it. And yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it?
It was good. Always good on Shoot the Defence.
There you go. So I didn't ask you during the show, what are your earliest memories of Josh anyway?
So as Josh said, I was his head of year. So from year seven. So I knew him all the way through, and I ran the football team as well. So I just remember back then, even when they were in year seven, they were still playing 11 a side on a big pitch. And I just remember him getting the ball from a left back position. And I'm thinking, what's he doing? He's supposed to be playing in midfield. He was my number 10. And he got the ball and he took on everyone. And then he squared it for a sweaty goal.
Oh, like and, a FIFA.
Yeah. It's great to watch someone go through every single stage of football, from the academy, different age groups for England, and obviously making his debut eventually for the team that he was at Spurs since he was 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So it was a privilege to watch. But tell you what, the kid worked hard. He worked really hard to get there, lots of sacrifices. When all of his mates were going out, he was focused, you know, early curfews, getting his rest and then going training. He was, you know, spot on.
Brilliant. Well, that's good to hear. And, you know, it's also nice to hear that he's got good people around him. He mentioned his dad a couple of times.
Yeah. Joe's a good man. Yeah. We always used to get on. And his mum's fantastic as well. You know, sister and his other siblings, his brothers and sisters, they're great. He's got a really strong network, as I said. And that's got to help because, as we know, and, you know, you've done this, we've done this long enough talking to pro footballers. It's not just how mentally good you are, how technically good you are. It's also the mental aspect, and mentally, Josh is in a good place.
No, that's good. I mean, I don't know if you heard the pod I did with Kenji the other day, and it was just mostly talking about the mental side of the game. We were comparing, you know, Ravel Morrison to other footballers and how extremely talented Ravel Morrison is, but for whatever reason, he just isn't at the level that he should be. And again, it just goes back down to mentality, the people around you, and I think that's the most difficult part of being a footballer. We obviously aren't there. We're not in the limelight. We're not, you know, thrusted in that pressure cooker, so to speak. So we don't know what it's like to live the life of a pro footballer. But let's be 100% honest. They're human at the end of the day, and they feel pressure. And irrespective of what we say about their performances week in, week out, it must obviously affect them, what people say about them or say to them, be it on social media, be it out in the open. So, as I said, it's great to see someone that's a young lad that's thriving. He's doing very well. He's at an excellent level. And he's still got so much potential.
Absolutely. And and he hasn't forgotten his roots, which is also key.
There you go. Wonderful. All right. Well, Mr. Pieri, what's your Twitter handle?
It's at DelPieri10.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to plug?
Not really.
No? Okay. Fair enough. Right, we're on Twitter at Shoot Defence. We have an Instagram page, and that's it until this time. Oh, until next time, should I say. Omonia are in the Champions League, which we're happy about. So that's it. Bye.